The Bible reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord.
So again, friends, it's a delight and honor to open God's word with you this morning. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at Leipzig Project Church, where your pastor Larry is preaching this morning. So I'm trying to speak in not my native language, and he does the same. And if there's heresy coming out of my mouth, it's just due to that. Normally, I only speak the truth. Actually, I want to thank you because you've been an encouragement to us from even when before we came to Leipzig, because I've known your pastor Larry for a ton of years, I don't know how long, even before we moved, and also your former pastor Martin. And this church has always been an encouragement to me personally, and I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to the gospel and to God's mission. I say this like with all my heart, you are a blessing to the city of Leipzig and to the church in Leipzig. Thank you for that. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Please speak to us. And let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I have three simple points from this text. First is, who are you? The second is, we are in Christ. And the last is, Christ is in you. So, who are you? Our passage that we just read is one of the so-called I am sayings of Jesus. He says several of those things, and he always begins with those famous words, I am. Here it is, I am the true vine. Jesus is not insecure about his identity. He knows who he is. Many people might say many things about Jesus and think many things about Jesus, but it seems Jesus isn't exactly holding back. He's not exactly shy when it comes to his identity. On several different occasions in the Gospel of John alone, he tells us who he thinks he is. He says, I am this and that. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life, and so forth. I am. You want to know who I am? I'm telling you, this is who I am. Jesus knows who he is. But do you know who you are? You know, over the years, I've come to realize as a pastor in the city that few non-Christians wake up in the morning and ask the questions that I, as a pastor, would love to answer. Questions like, why do you believe that the scriptures of the New Testament are sufficient and historically accurate? Or questions like, what philosophical arguments do you have for the existence of God? I would love to talk about those things with my neighbors and non-Christian friends, but they don't wake up in the morning and ask those questions, very rarely. But you know what they are all asking? They ask the question, who am I? Who am I? I don't think I really have to prove that this morning. I think we all know that. The constant bombardment in movies and podcasts and social media and TV series and books and whatever, it constantly tries to assure us, be yourself, you do you, find yourself, listen to your heart. Only you can define your own identity. We hear those things all the time, are we not? In the movie Lamborghini, there is, I don't know if you've seen it, it's a movie about the rivalry between the car company Lamborghini and Ferrari. And does anyone here drive either one of those? Because if you do, the church accountant would love to have a chat about the church budget after the service. I've never sat in either one of those, but at one point, Ferruccio Lamborghini, he says those words, this perfect advertisement. He says, you buy a Ferrari when you want to be someone. You buy a Lamborghini if you are someone. That's good. That works. Every good advertisement doesn't just sell the product itself. It sells a sense of identity. It gives you, it pushes your self-worth, your self-image. Buy this product and it will help you become the person you want to be. But why does that work so well? I think because we long for, we ache as human beings for a sense of self and a sense of worth. To know you are someone. When I look at our society, I can't help but see the irony in the whole thing. You know, could it be that we need this constant affirmation from the outside, this constant reassurance of who we are? And could it be that we are so allergic to anyone questioning our constructed identity? Anyone who says, maybe you're not that, maybe we were so allergic to that because we are deeply, deeply insecure about who we are. Unsure if we're really right about what we say who we are. I think we're so obsessed with the topic of identity in our culture, and I think it's obvious, we can all see that. We're so obsessed with this topic because we're deeply insecure. We need that outside affirmation all the time. But you know what? Jesus isn't insecure. Jesus exactly knows who he is. And I do believe that makes the Christian faith so appealing. And we shouldn't be shy about that. If you're not a follower of Christ this morning, welcome. It's a perfect place to be. Most people here are nice. you might think that this whole topic of a vine and branches and fruit and all the things that you heard in the text, they go over your head or they have nothing to do with you. But I want you to see, I want to invite you to see how relevant this whole topic here is to your life. I mean, aren't you interested in something meaningful, in something deep when it comes to your identity? You know, Christians are not concerned with flimsy, cheap, artificial ways to construct your own identity. But for 2,000 years, Christ has given people a secure sense of who they are that has stood the test of times. Generation after generation has found who they really are in Christ. Wouldn't you? Even if you think this is all a hoax, like at least because for 2,000 years people have found something meaningful, wouldn't you want to at least know what it is? I invite you to be open to that. Over the centuries, Christians have summarized their answer to the question of identity in two ways, in a twofold statement. We are in Christ, Christ is in us. We in Christ, Christ in us. Two times Jesus says in the text, abide in me and I in you. Verse 5, whoever abides in me and I in him. We in Christ, Christ in us. And it's very important that we see You cannot separate those two. Those are two sides of the same coin. We can never and we should never separate those two things. We are in Christ, Christ is in us, but we need to know how to distinguish them. Think of the metaphor of the whole vine and the branch. I'm not a gardener. I don't know much about those things. I don't really understand how, like, what does it even mean? Like, is the branch and the vine, is the vine and the branch, like, how does that work? I think that's not the point in the metaphor. The point is, those, they belong together, but they're still two different sides of the same thing. And the thing is called union with Christ. We're unified with Christ through faith. We have a connection with Jesus Christ, where we are in him and he is in us. So, what does that mean? Second point, we are in Christ. Jesus says, verse 1, I am the true vine. The true vine. Jesus often uses images that relate to the day-to-day life of the people around him in the Gospels. And of course, the hearers that heard this those verses for the first time, they came from an agricultural society, and they knew what a vine was, definitely. But I do believe in this case, Jesus doesn't use this metaphor, this image, simply because it's easy to understand to the common man. That's not the point here. What he does is he uses an image from the Old Testament. He uses a theological phrase, if you will. You see it all over the Old Testament, this picture of the vine or the vineyard. It is a picture, an image of the people of God, of the people of Israel. In Psalm 80, for example, you see how God tells the people of Israel that he brought them out of Egypt, and he brought the vine, he says. He brought a vine out of Egypt to Israel. In Isaiah, he says that Israel is his vineyard. He's tenderly speaking to the people of God, and he says, you are my vineyard, and I care for you. In Hosea 10, he says it's a luxuriant vine that he planted in Israel. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, his hearers understood what he meant. It's not just a nice picture from your garden. It means something very deep. Take notice of the word true. I am the true vine. I am the true Israel, Jesus says. I am the true people of God. I am what you were meant to be. On Christmas, you were just reminded of this whole fact. Jesus' life is like, is running parallel to the history of the people of God, of the history of the people of Israel. As a baby, after he was born, he had to flee to Egypt and then come back from Egypt to Israel, so that he is like Israel in that, right? Because they came from the desert, from Egypt. And also, afterwards, when he grew up, he went to the desert 40 days. And it's important that it's 40 days because it reminds you that the people of God were in the desert for 40 years. And you can see all those things, many, many more in his life, where he is having a parallel life to the people of Israel. Because we need to know, when Jesus identifies himself with the vine, he specifically says, I am what you should have been. I am what you couldn't be. I am the true vine. Theologian Peter Kraft, I don't know how you pronounce his name, but he's a great guy. So he says following. He says, we are half men. He is perfect man. We are inhuman humans. He is perfect humanity. We are alienated from ourselves. He is perfectly himself. He is more us than we are. Listen to that. Jesus' point here is, I am more you than you are yourself. In Jesus, God became a man. He became human. But realize he didn't become half man, half God. He's not Hercules. No, he became truly man, truly human. Get this, he became man, not just some kind of man, he became man as he ought to be, as we should have been, as we are meant to be. Right at the beginning of the biblical story, humans are on the run from God. In Genesis chapter 3, we flee from God, we hide from God. And God says those very, very important three words in the beginning of the scriptures. He says, "Where are you? Where are you?" Why is God searching for humankind? Why is God searching for humankind? Because we got lost. We are lost. And understand this, we're not lost in the sense that God is looking for us like we are looking for our car keys in the morning. Like, where did I put them? God knows perfectly well where Adam and Eve, the first humans, were hiding. He knows everything. What he means when he says, "Where are you?" goes way deeper. When we got lost in the beginning, when humans got lost, they lost themselves. We lost who we really are. And since that day in Genesis 3, we are all on the hunt, on a way to construct our own identity apart from our Creator. We deeply need a sense of identity, but we have been on the run from God, and now we try to construct it for ourselves, who we really are. But the issue is, my friend, a secure identity. I know the society today tells you the direct opposite of what I'm about to say, but a secure identity cannot be constructed by yourself. A true sense of identity has to be given to you. It has to be given to you by intent. You know, I use an iPad for my sermon right now. And I could use my iPad in the afternoon today to as a chopping board for onions. You know, my wife always lets me cut the onions. So I could use this as a chopping board for onions. I'm free to do that. I can decide to do that. But doing so would be stupid, wouldn't it? Why? Because that's not what an iPad is made for. It's a simple point. Disconnected from God, disconnected from your Creator who made you in His image, you cannot find yourself. You cannot construct it for yourself who you really are. But that's the good news, friends. God came after us. He was looking out for us. He was searching us. And in Jesus, He became one of us. Even better, He became what we were truly meant to be. He's the true vine. So what does it mean to be in Christ now? To be in Christ means to be connected. Means to be in union with the one who became what we are so that in Him we could truly become ourselves. How does it work? In verse 2 it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit He prunes that it may bear more fruit." Verse 3, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." It is a little odd what Jesus says here, especially if you read it in the original, because the word that He uses for prunes in verse 2 is the same word that He uses for clean in verse 3. Meaning, to make it simple, Jesus basically says here in two verses, He says, "You need to be cleansed. You need to be cleansed." And then in the next verse, He says, "You're already clean. You need to be cleansed. You're already clean." And I'm reading that and I say, what is it, Jesus? Like, what are you trying to say? And as I said, we have here two sides of the same coin. It's important to distinguish them, but never to separate them. In Christ, what it means, what this side of the coin means, in Christ means we are already clean. That's the message of the gospel, friends. We are already made clean, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ does, because we're connected to Him, because we're covered by Him. We don't find ourselves. We don't save ourselves. But Jesus, that's the point, in our place, becomes who we should have been, lives the life we couldn't live, and dies the death we should have died. He does what we couldn't do. And so he and his righteousness cover us, and we are in him. So that when God sees us, God sees you, my friend, he sees Jesus Christ, his son, the perfect man. That's theological. You've heard that many times. Maybe you said amen to that, but maybe that never really got deeper into your heart because it's a little bit theoretical. Let me give you an illustration. Arthur Rankin Wilburn, he tells the story of a friend who used to work as Mickey Mouse in Disney World in Florida. Has anyone been there before? Awesome. Mickey Mouse is still know who that is, right? Yeah, good. nowadays, you never know. And this friend worked as Mickey Mouse, dressing up with this big hat, Mickey Mouse costume, and she says the following. Growing up, I thrived on behavior modification. I thought, if I'm good, I will be loved. If I'm bad, I will be rejected. I learned to wear a mask, not to show what really was going on. My core beliefs were that I was not worthy, accepted, or loved. So I would clamor and manufacture ways to elicit the positive responses I wanted from people. Maybe you can relate. She was not feeling accepted and loved, and she tried to be what other people expected of her. And then she says, when I put on Mickey Mouse costume, I got that positive response times 100. So imagine that. She was insecure in her own skin. But imagine her dressing up in the morning for her job, putting on this Mickey Mouse costume for work. And every single kid that would come through the doors at Disney World in Florida would see Mickey Mouse and start to smile immediately. The moment that the kids see her, they're happy. And they open their arms wide and they run towards Mickey Mouse and they want to hug Mickey Mouse and want to be near Mickey Mouse. And every time she was in Mickey, she got all that joy, all that confirmation, all that affirmation, all that love that she was craving. Now, friend, understand, that's what in Christ means to you. When God looks at you, he sees his son. And when God looks at you, when you are in Christ, his arms are wide open and he smiles and he runs towards you because he delights in you, because he wants to be near you, because you are in Christ. When you are connected to Jesus, your identity is secure. You're accepted, you're approved, you're loved. That's what he means when he says you're already clean. It already happened. It's nothing that you can do or have to do. It's something that is done for you because you are in Christ, because you're connected to him. And ironically, in Christ, you're covered with someone else's identity. You get the identity of Jesus, the Son of God. And that's ironic because while you get the identity of someone else, you actually you're getting the identity of your true self. That's the irony of the gospel, because he is the true vine, remember? He's truly who you are. He's truly who you're meant to be. And I ask you, do you have this security in Christ? Do you know this morning? Or are you tossed around back and forth in insecurity? On a good day, you feel good about yourself. On a bad day, you feel bad about yourself. Jesus says, abide in me. I'm enough. Dress up in me. You are already clean in me. And lastly, I have to finish. Christ is in us. I said it's two sides of the same coin. When you are in Christ, you are already clean. And you could now think, wow, I'm accepted in Jesus Christ. I'm loved in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that's left for me to do. That's glorious. So now I can do whatever I want. Now I can live however I want. It doesn't actually matter how I live now. That's what you could think. But if you think like that, you overlook that those two sides of the same coin, they belong together, and you cannot have one without the other. If you are in Christ, it automatically means that Christ is also in you. He loves you as you are because you are in Christ, but he will never leave you as you are. That's the whole point. His point is not just to say you're counted righteous. He actually wants to make you righteous. And often we forget that that's actually the point. He became what we were meant to be. He took this long way from heaven to earth, became what we were meant to be, not so we could just stay like we are. He did this whole thing so we would be made into his image, made who we really are meant to be. I've heard an Orthodox priest, formerly, I actually wanted to become an Orthodox priest before I became Protestant, but I heard an Orthodox priest, he talked about the difference between Orthodox Christians and Catholic Christians. We have several different families within the Christian religion. And he was trying to explain, like in an elevator pitch, very shortly, what is the difference between those two denominations, like Orthodox and Catholic. And he says, you guys, you Catholics, he said to the Catholic guy, your whole deal is forgiveness. Your whole deal is the question, how do I get right with God? How am I righteous before God? It's a legal thing, counted righteous before God. And he says, that's your whole deal. Our whole deal in the Eastern Church is how am I healed? Not just how am I legally made righteous, but how am I healed? What's the point? What's the use of being forgiven when you're still broken, is what he said. And my point to you this morning is, as Protestants, we have always believed that you have to hold those two sides together. You cannot separate them. We are in Christ means you are forgiven, you are accepted, you are counted righteous. Nothing can change that. And at the same time, Christ in you means you are being healed, you are made whole, you are being transformed into the person you are truly meant to be by Christ. Amen? I am the vine, verse 5, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's interesting what Jesus says. He says, apart from him, we can't do anything. You cannot bear fruit without me. And then at the same time, he says, I want you to bear fruit, friends. I want you to bear fruit. But the point is this, you cannot bear fruit. He has to be in you and make you bear fruit. If I try to bear fruit right now, make a grape, I can try that very hard. And no fruit. I cannot, no matter how hard I try. But Christ in me actually starts to transform me into him. And how does he do that? How does it work? By abiding in him. Through union with Christ, you are not just counted righteous, you actually become righteous. Sometimes we want the one without the other. We want to be counted righteous. We want to have a ticket into heaven, but we don't actually want to be changed. And that's a shame. That's because that's the most glorious thing. You know what? Has anyone voted in the last Bundestagswahl here? Last year, we voted for a new Bundeskanzler, and I won't be political, I'm sorry, no worries. But maybe, at least someone has voted for Friedrich Merz, you don't have to raise your hand. But I assume at least one person will have voted for him. And now he's your chancellor, yeah, you have won, because you were for him, you voted for him, you're on his side, and now you've won, yay! The thing is this. You might be for him, and you vote for him, but that doesn't automatically mean that you're connected with him, right? Just because you voted for him and now he's the chancellor doesn't mean he will visit you this year and help you with your tax report, with your Steuererklärung. It won't happen. Get this. When you are a Christian, it's not just that you subscribe to the dogmas of the church and say, I believe those things about Jesus. That's all great. I'm for Jesus. I'm team Jesus. No, it's much better than that. The moment you become a Christian, Christ actually enters your life. He becomes part of you. He is in you. And he actually helps you to change. He's the one who's doing the change. Your job is to abide in him, to be connected in union with him. I have friends I had friends, they're dead now, but in my old church in Hamburg, they were a couple that was married for 50 years. Glorious. And the cool thing is, when you looked at them after 50 years, for some reason, they looked the same. They had the same hair color. I can tell that the husband was taller at some point in their life, but over time, they've balanced out, synced at the same height. And if you were talking to one of them, you always would talk to the other one too, because they were always nearby. It was like one person. They had this wonderful union. But you know what? Even after 50 years of marriage, their marriage certificate wasn't worth more than on the first day of marriage. It was the same marriage certificate. It's important that we know that how to distinguish between being in Christ and Christ in us. We don't want to get that confused. We don't want to say, oh, because I'm having a good day with my wife, now I'm married, now I have an argument with my wife, oh, my marriage certificate is worth nothing. No, that's not how marriage works. I'm still married, even if I have a bad day. But at the same time, just having a marriage certificate and putting it in clear foil and saying, wow, I have it, and I put it on the wall and say, wow, and look at it, that doesn't make a good marriage. The point of marriage is not looking at the marriage certificate. The point of marriage is living in that union. You get what I'm saying? When we are connected to Jesus, you're not just counted righteous. You have Christ in you. He's in union with you, and he wants to change you into his own image. And I'm already too long, so let me end with this. There used to be a time where we had those little hand wrists, wristband, yeah. WWJD was on them. What would Jesus do? Does anyone have those? Know those? Yeah. I'm not against it, but I think it's not the best slogan, because it puts the emphasis on, okay, now I'm a Christian. Jesus died for me. He did all those things for me. I'm counted righteous. And now I have to act like it. What would Jesus do? I have to do what Jesus did. And you do. You need to be a follower. Don't get me wrong. But I think a better slogan than what would Jesus do would be Christ in you. Because each day I wake up, it's not about, oh, today I want to try so hard to be a good Christian. It's more, Jesus, welcome again this morning. Thank you for living in me. Thank you for being in me. You have carried your cross 2,000 years ago for me. Would you now come and help carry my cross with me today? Would you change me? Would you do your work in me? Would you start making me what I truly am? That's a difference. It's a difference to put your emphasis on yourself and what you can do as a Christian and putting your emphasis on Christ who lives in you. I'm always encouraged by this one little thing that happens in the gospel with Simon of Cyrene. I don't know if you know the part where Jesus carries his cross to his own execution. And physically, he is not able to go any step further. He cannot carry it anymore. It's too heavy after all the beating that I've done to him. And then the Romans, they make this poor guy, Simon of Cyrene, help Jesus carry the cross. They just pick him and say, you, help him. And he carries the cross with Jesus. And I'm always encouraged by that, because it makes me think, Jesus Christ, he carried that cross for me in my place. But now he asks me to carry my cross, to change, to become the person he died for. Don't you think that when Jesus needed help to carry his cross, that if you ask him, Jesus, please help me. This is too heavy for me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get rid of this sin. I don't know how to change. I don't know how to become the person you want me to be. Don't you think that if you come to him, who himself had to have help with his cross, that he wouldn't gladly, quickly come and say, I will carry it with you. I will carry it for you. I will help you with it. Don't pass by that. This is so glorious. Christ is in you. Every morning, this is my prayer. I pray, I am in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm covered by your righteousness. You couldn't love me more. The Father couldn't love me anymore because I am in you. And you are in me. Christ is in me. Thank you, Jesus, that this day you want to change me into the person I'm meant to be. Do your work in me. Change me. Amen. And I hope this blesses you for the next year, that you root your identity in the simple fact, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Amen.